إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. We continue reading in this class of Manhaj, Alhamdulillah, from the book of our noble Shaykh, Dr. Salih Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى الأجوبة المفيدة على أسئلة المناهج الجديدة, the beneficial answers to questions on innovative methodologies. And once again, it is very important for us to pay attention to this class because we're supposed to be on the path of Allah and we should know what it is and hold on firm to it and be aware of the other paths of deviation that deviant sects call to and beautify to the people. Because there is only one path that leads to Allah, to the Jannah. Siratullah. Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. And it is that which Allah has legislated for His servants. Allah commands us to adhere to it and warn us against the many other paths that take you further away from His path. So there are people who they call and they claim that they are calling to the truth, but they are deviant groups, deviant sects. So we need to know who they are, how they function, what they call to and the like. We're in a question 35. Is there a difference between creed, the aqidah, and manhaj, methodology? Is there a difference between these two terms, these two terminologies? Al-manhaj, al-aqidah. The manhaj, the methodology, the aqidah, the creed. The Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafidhahu ta'ala, in the answer to this question, he says, the word manhaj, methodology, is more comprehensive in meaning than the aqidah, the creed. That's the word manhaj, the methodology, is more comprehensive than aqidah, the creed. And the term manhaj includes the creed. The term manhaj, methodology, includes the aqidah, includes the creed. So it includes that, the manhaj include the creed, methodology, the manners, daily interactions, and all of a Muslim's life. All of this is under the manhaj. Every course that a Muslim embarks on in a daily affairs is called manhaj. As for the word aqidah, then what is meant by it is the foundation of iman, the foundation of faith, as well as the meaning and requirements of the testimony of faith, shahadatain. This is what is meant by the aqidah, the creed. So this is very important to know the answer to this question, because Ahlul Bidah, they make a difference between the aqidah and the manhaj. They're like, they are two different things. And they tell you, no, they are ikhwani in the manhaj, but they salafi aqidah. What do you mean, ikhwani manhaj? Because the person in his aqidah has to be upon the manhaj of the salaf. Because the manhaj is the path that the person embark upon by doing things. If a person hid in south, and then he's like, well, don't worry about it, you're going south, but you're still going to be north. Allah al-musta'an. A person has to be Salafi in everything, not just in aqeedah. And there are Salafi in aqeedah, in fiqh, in ibadah, in akhlaq, in manners, in politics. Yeah, in politics too, you have to follow the word of Salaf. Don't just follow whatever you want. Follow democracy in politics. Follow the majority, whatever, voting, you know, what the majority decide. Ignorant people. No. Follow the Salaf, the manager of Salaf in everything. In aqeedah, in acts of worship, in akhlaq manners, in transactions, in economy, in politics, in all your life. The Prophet ﷺ has laid down everything for us. Amen. And the other question, number 36, is it obligatory for the scholars to clarify the dangers of partisanship, hizbiya, division, tafarruq, and groups, and these different groups, to the youth and common folk? It is important, it is obligatory for the scholars to clarify the dangers of partisanship, hizbiya, division. And it's very important, like he said, to the youth and to the common folk. Because some people, they claim Salafiyya, but they say, no, you can't talk about Hizbiyya, man. Hizbiyya is only for students of knowledge and stuff. The youth and common folk, you don't talk to them about Ikhwan Muslimin. Don't warn them against Jama'at Tabligh. No, don't warn. Don't talk about Jama'at Tabligh. Don't talk about Sufiyya. Don't talk about Ikhwan Muslimin. Don't talk about the Khawarij and the Qa'ida. And then if you don't talk about this, then for you find those youth going with Tabligh. Those youth being drafted by Ikhwan Muslimin, by the jihadists and all those terrorists. You see the problem? The Sheikh, he said, look at the answer. He said, yes, they, meaning the scholars, they must clarify the danger of partisanship. Look at the Sheikh, he says, the danger of partisanship is dangerous. Hizbiyya. And the danger of splitting and dividing. Allah command us to be united upon the truth, not to divide our ranks. That's not from Islam, for the Muslims to be divided into different groups and sects. We are commanded to all of us hold on firm to the truth. So the Sheikh, he says, yes, it is, the scholars must clarify these matters. The danger of partisanship and the danger of splitting and dividing, so that the people can be equipped with knowledge, as even the common folk can be deceived. Now, this Ikhwan al-Muslimin and Jama'at al-Tabligh, who followed them? Think students of knowledge? The ulama follow them? No, common folks who don't know what's going on. Youth who don't know. Youth who have energy and emotional. They just play them a couple of clips on YouTube and that's it. And like, we're going to Syria. For what? No. Now you got to be careful. We have to learn these things and we have to make sure that our youth, they know these things. Okay? So the Sheikh said, yes, they must. He said, how many of the common folk today have been deluded by some groups into thinking that they are upon the truth? No? If you like this Jama'at al-Tabligh, why are they still out there and have all these resources? Have they been supported? Ikhwan al-Mublisin, as Sheikh Mukhbil used to call them, the brothers of Iblis, of Shaitan, this Ikhwan Muslimun. Okay? Why are they still on the power? Muslims. Look at in America, for example. There's so many masajid, big masajid, of the Ikhwan Muslimun, millions. With who? Where they came from? Most of it, if it's not all of it, from the laymen. For the ignorant Muslims who they support them and put their money. And the Ikhwan, they know how to get the people's money. They're clever when it comes to that. But they're going to be asked in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Their reckoning will be severe because they used Islam to get the people's money and wealth. At least if they say, look, man, guys, we're here, we're about politics, okay? That's why we're doing all of this for politics. You want to be with us? The deen, leave it apart. Leave the deen apart. They don't do that. They're cowards. They use the deen to get to what they want, to execute their plans. That itself is bad. And on top of that, deceive the people. Deceiving the people by taking their money, deluding them that this we're on the right path. We're doing this for Islam, for jihad, for you, for khilafah. But the laymen, they don't know. Because somebody who has the basics, they're like, wait a minute, you're doing it for who? For Islam? Okay, what is, you're not following the principles of Islam. You're going against principles of Islam. You're going against ayat, a hadith. How could you do this for Islam? But see them, they know that many Muslims these days, they are ignorant. They don't know what Islam is. So they know what the ulama, they know. See the Ikhwal Muslimin, for instance, they know if they're going to come up with an idea, they know that the ulama of the Salaf, they're going to talk about it and refute them. And But they're like, look, these are not few people. The majority of the Muslims don't listen to them and they don't know who they are anyway. Because the Ikhwan, they work hard to tarnish and to destroy the image of the great ulama. They lie. Sheikh bin Baz, he works for the government of Saudi Arabia. Sheikh bin Baz, like that. These are people, they're just scholars of government. Look, they have good positions. He's mufti, he's this, he's that. Don't listen to them. They don't know you. Nah, they don't know you. They don't know fiqh al-waqa. They don't care about your concerns. That's what they say. Even those who may, like what the Sheikh bin Baz said that, then they're like, hey, Sheikh bin Baz, of course, yeah, he's a good alim in fiqh. But in politics, man, don't. You can't, don't count on him. You don't know how to deal with matters. Auzubillah. So they know that the ulama is talking, refuting them and warning the people, but they know also that a lot of people don't know the ulama, and a lot of people are emotional. That's why, look, they use Palestine. Yes, Palestine. And all what this poor Palestinian is going through because of the Ikhwan Muslimin. Of course, Allah has decreed this to happen. But the reason, the means, this Ikhwan al-Mublisin. And subhanAllah, they are the source of the misery of the people of Palestine. And they use them to raise money. Subhanallah. Can you imagine that? Like in an Arab, this is an Arab statement, they say, قَتَلَهُ وَبَكَى فِي جَنَازَتِهِ. He's the one who killed him, but he's crying in his funeral procession. You can imagine? The murderer, but he's crying, oh, he died, oh, crying. No. That's what they did. They're the one that causing all this misery for these people of Palestine, but they cry. In America, in Europe, I don't know where, Australia, in Arab countries, please donate, give for Palestine so they can get the money to carry out their plots. But the ulama, they warn against them. Alhamdulillah, they are very dangerous, these Ikhwan Muslimun. Very dangerous. Then the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, we must clarify the danger of these parties and sects to people, whether they are from those who study or not. He's not just for the students of knowledge. Anybody, people need to know who this Ikhwan Mublisin are, and the Khawarij, and the Ahbash, and Shabab in Somalia, and Jabhat al-Nusra now in Syria, and Iraq, and Daesh, ISIS, and ISIL. Yeah, the people need to know these are very dangerous groups. These are wicked groups. They don't represent Islam. Al-Shabaab in Somalia, and Jabhat al-Nusra in Syria, and Daesh, which they call now ISIS or ISIL, Al-Qaeda of Bin Laden, and Zawahiri and Zarqawi. and Anwar Awlaqi and the Ikhwan al-Muslimin with all of their founders like Banna and Qutb and Mawdudi and Ghazali and Azzam, and then all of those who are still alive, Hassan and Huwaini and Abd al-Maqsood and Yaqub and Qusi and all of them, Wajdi Ghneem, and people need to know these people. And you don't listen to them. Don't listen to them, you don't take knowledge from them. But they're dangerous, they're a threat for Islam and for the Muslims. Ayna. So the Shaykh said, we must clarify the danger of these parties and sects to people, whether they are from those who study or not. And this is since, if the scholars were to remain silent, the people would say, the scholars are aware of this, but remain silent about it. You see? And the scholars didn't say nothing about this. Why, you see? And so misguidance would enter from this door. People be misguided. And this Ikhwan, subhanAllah, they like a fish. Have you ever tried to catch a fish in the water? With your hands, not with a rod? Huh? Can you catch it? Yeah, you can. You can try 1,000 times, maybe 1 in 1,000, you may grab him. Once you grab the fish, what happens? He slips away from you. Same thing, these guys. They may even, if one of the mashayikh didn't know about some of their plots, because not all the mashayikh may know about their plots in the same day, same hour. Some mashayikh somewhere here, he didn't know about them yet. They use that. They hate that sheikh. They know he's upon da'wah salafiyya. But if Sheikh Rabia knows them and he says, hey, this, they're like, for example, they use one of the names of the mashayikh. Well, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin didn't say nothing, so why Sheikh Rabia open his mouth? Then later on, you find Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, when they ask him, he's like, no, this is wrong. But see them, they don't care about the truth or the falsehood. Time frame. In that time, they cause confusion. Now, those people, they were like, there are certain people who don't understand principle. They may like, oh yeah, why is Sheikh so-and-so talk and the other Sheikh didn't talk? And confusion. But they know they don't have principle that, look, it's enough for one alim to refute the falsehood. You know, we don't wait until all of the ulama agree. No, if it's falsehood, it's falsehood. You know, it's falsehood. If Sheikh Rabi refute somebody or some actions with the dalil, with the adilla, it's okay. Don't need to have all the ulama agree with him, because the haqq is with him. Don't say that's what matters. It's the haqq and falsehood. It's not how many people support this or that. It's the truth. A student of knowledge is upon the truth. He's upon the truth. That's it. Oh, wait a minute, there's only 7 of them that says, but there is a whole lot didn't say nothing. And no, it doesn't work like that. The haqq is clear, and the falsehood is clear. The falsehood, but these people, they want to mix the haqq with falsehood. That's the people of Ahlul Bidah, they play on this. Wal'iyadu billah. To cause confusion, because that's what they're good at. Cause confusion and chaos and turmoil, and you don't even know who you are, what is the haqq. They paint everything to you in different colors, and you don't even know which door. You don't even know your house. They make you confused. These are the Ikhwan, because they don't follow principles. But Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, their da'wah is clear. It's clear. You hear it from Sheikh Fawzan. Same thing here from Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Ubaid, the Mashaykh of Ahlul Sunnah, Sheikh Ulwad, Sheikh Ulaymin, Sheikh Muqbil, Salafi Sheikh in Yemen, or he's in Pakistan or India, or he's in Morocco or Algeria or Senegal or Sudan. Doesn't matter. Or Egypt, what doesn't matter what that Sheikh is. Likewise, a student of knowledge, whether he's in the East or the West, doesn't matter. They're going to tell you the same thing because they have the hair to the same principle. And they drink from the same spring that which Ahlul Sunnah or Jama'ah they are upon. These guys, they're flimsy. Whenever they have a new heat, head or leader, he'll change stuff for them. And they change their ideologies and their strategies according to the time and the place. The way the Ikhwan function in one area is totally in the other area. If they are in an area where they have the power and this, oh, that's another level. But if they are in an area when they don't have the power and they are like minority and Ahlul Haq, no, they even display Salafiyya. Yes, they display Salafiyya. These are Ikhwan Muslimin, they're very dangerous. If they go to area where Salafiyya is strong, they say they Salafis. And they start calling to Salafiyya, start teaching from the books of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. They start quoting Shaykh Ibn Baz, Shaykh Al Albani, our Shaykh, and they cry in the talks, cry. All that, so the people say, man, these are the true Salafis. And once they get the people, then they start them, oh, guess what? But see, look, the ruler of Saudi Arabia, he shake the hand of the Elizabeth, gave her a gift. People of Palestine deserve that gift, don't they? I'm not saying they bad, I'm not saying they put in poison. So when the people go home, they're like, well, he's right, man. He's right. But they never tell them, look, man, that the king of Saudi and the government, they give in millions and billions as donations to the people, to the poor in Palestine every year. They never said that. They never. They are very dangerous people. They're tricky. They, alhamdulillah, Allah save us from them. Amen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save the Muslims from their evil. Amen. Alhamdulillah, what's been going on this years in what they call it blindly and falsely, the Arab Spring, there is no spring about it. And why the Arab Spring? Why can't it be the Indian Spring? Why can't it be the American or the Canadian Spring or Brazilian Spring or Spanish Spring, French Spring? Why all the Arabs? Why? The Arab, they only want to have problems? There's a lot of problems in South America. Why there is no South American Spring? Why? You see? But see, the Muslims, now we're talking about Muslims. Ignorant Muslims, they fall into that. The Arab Spring bring nothing but destruction. The spring, the people, when the spring comes, spring brings relief, right or wrong. After a long months and weeks of winter and cold and worries and this, the spring comes with flowers. With what? Butterflies, birds, life, spring. People, they go out to have fun. People are slaughtered, man, this Arab Spring. Killed. Blood all over and the like. What spring is this they're talking about? And the Muslims, they still think it's okay. Ignorant people. They don't want to learn their deen. So it's very important to learn the principles of the religion. The Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan continues by saying, so the scholars must explain and clarify when these matters appear. I know, the danger that befalls the common folk is greater than that which befalls the students of knowledge. Because students of knowledge, they have tools, you know. Even if the students of knowledge may fall a little bit, but then that little knowledge he have principles, it may bring him back. But the layman is nothing, man. The Shaykh, he says, and because along with the scholars remaining silent, the common folk will think that this is what is correct and adopt it as the truth. See? If the ulama don't refute, that's why it's very important, the ulama. This is a principle from the principles of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Commanding good and forbidding evil, that's what it is about. So that to protect the Muslims. So that the Muslims, they worship Allah upon clarity, upon knowledge. Especially for the laymen who don't know what from what. Can you imagine there is in the area, there is these good doctors. Good doctors, they study, alhamdulillah, in a good way and they practice for years. They're good doctors, they're in these areas and this. But then, here is some people, they want to take over the market. They're like, man, this doctor's making all this money, man. They like, whoa, living large, this all this big money. It's easy. Just open some clinics, come up with some fake, they call them, certificates. Hey, Dr. Fulan, Dr. Fulan. He said, okay, put on like some white, what do you call them? Gowns or whatever. That's it. Put some nice, help me out, man. Tags, Dr. So-and-so, put some beautiful websites, Dr. This, is famous, he was all over, this, put some, promote this. Okay, so the real scholars, would they really just like, hey, don't worry about it, we have our clientele, we have our patients, we're still making good money, whoever goes to them, who cares? Would they write for that? The doctors, they just be quiet and don't say nothing? And they know that these people, they're not qualified, they're not doctors, and they cannot operate on these people. People are dying, people getting even more sick, getting worse by these people because they go to this place, to these clinics. You think those clinics should stay open 1 second more? No. Why? Because people whoever go to those clinics with these people who are not true doctors, or doctors, maybe they study, they have an authentic certificate, but they are not applying what they learn. They using, they getting people sick because they have some, I don't know, they have some ittifaq, some agreement with somebody else. And look, get the people sick. We got you. Don't worry about it. We got you. We get a paycheck. Let's get the people sick. And so the true doctors, what are they going to say? What is their approach? They have to warn. If they're really sincere and they want good for the people, they're like, look, they're going to say, look. And they know that the others, they're going to wage war against them and this, they don't care. Because that's what sincerity is about. They're truthful and they want good for others. And they're going to warn and say, these people are no good. Because that person over there, he's an electrical engineer. That's his degree. So why he's a doctor now? Like Tariq Suwaydan. He's a chemist. So why he's talking about the deen of Allah? Why? And many others, they didn't study nothing. Sayyid Qutb didn't study nowhere. So why now all of a sudden he's Shaheed al-Ummah, the great alim, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah of this time? You see? And the Ikhwan Muslimin, they are very good in the propagandas, you know. They're making a big thing, you know, about somebody, poor him, he's like the only one around. They're good at that. Likewise, the Ikhwan. The ulama, they warn against these people because those bad doctors, they just make people sick in their bodies. You see? And they will only destroy their bodies. But this false scholars here, these wicked people of innovation, they destroy the people's religion. They destroy their religion, not just the bodies. That's why I find the ulama who cares, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, arhamun nasi bil khalq. They are the ones who have more mercy to the creation. Ahlul Sunnah al Jama'ah. They don't care what the people say about them. Because the best of the people, they were, you know, slandered and mentioned with names. The Prophet ﷺ, they called him all names. We still read in the Quran. So you think Shaykh bin Baz cares, or Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, or those who before them, Imam Malik, or Shaykh Islam bin Taymiyyah, or Muhammad bin Abdul Wahab, or Shaykh al-Albani, or bin Baz bin Uthaymeen, or Shaykh Rabi' al-Fawzan, you think they care less? Who talk bad about them? Actually, that'll be good for them in Yawm al-Qiyamah. All those who speak bad about them and criticize them with no haqq, without truth, that's all good for them in Yawm al-Qiyamah. That's the alim, and that's the position of a student of knowledge who is upon the haqq. He mentioned the haqq, and he won't be scared. No. Oh, I'm going to be fired. Oh, they're going to come and say something about me. Oh yeah. Some. If a student of knowledge like that, Allah Musta'an. He's not, oh, I can't talk about this man. He's what? Oh, my name is on all over the internet. So what? You're the only one, your name was all over the internet? Nuh alayhi salam, for how many years we still, we know what the people said about him, and we still. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not safe from the ignorance. Right or wrong? In ignorance, they still say bad things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from that, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with them in a way that is right. Give them what they deserve. The Jews, they say Allah is stingy, wa'iyadubillah. They says Allah is poor, and they are the rich. So now you want to worry what the people, what the Ikhwan Muslimin said about you? Or Sufis said about you? Actually, the ulama, they said that's a good thing for you, actually. When Ahlul Bid'ah refute a person, it means that he's upon the haqq. That's one of the signs. As long as he's upon the haqq, that's a good thing for you. The problem is when Ahlul Bid'ah, they start praising a person. So why would they praise him? For different reasons. One of them, maybe he's one of them. He agreed what they say, or he doesn't refute them and they say that's a good person. No. This is not the case that we're going to like all the classes on the Ikhwal Muslimin, but we have. You have to learn. You got to learn the Aqidah, you got to learn your Iman, you got to learn the Ibadah, Akhlaq, Fiqh, but also you got to know how dangerous these groups and these parties. They give bad image because, and the worst part, they speak in the name of Islam. They cower. At least if they say, look man, this is not of Islam. Islam is free from these actions, strictly for politics. They don't. No, they use Islam as an umbrella. Oh, this is for Islam, this is Islam, Islam, Jihad, this, Allah salam al-Aliyah. Another question, number 37. What is the ruling on watching soccer matches and other sporting events? The Sheikh, he gave a beautiful advice. He says, a human being's time is precious. It's precious. Okay? He shouldn't waste it in watching sports. Since that will divert him from the remembrance of Allah. And perhaps he may be attracted to it and become a player or an athlete in the future. You see? Exchanging hard work and beneficial deeds for actions that have no benefit. So one should not watch and preoccupy himself with sports matches. Aynan. May Allah protect us all, Ameen. And make us from those who benefit from these advices, from this noble, because time is precious. No doubt. Question number 38. Is one's entering into either paradise or the hellfire dependent upon the correctness of his methodology? Is one's entering into either paradise or the hellfire dependent upon the correctness of his methodology? The answer, yes, the Sheikh says. He says, if one's methodology is correct, manhaj, he will be from the inhabitants of paradise. If he is upon the methodology of Allah's messengers, meaning the methodology of the messenger of Allah, and the methodology of the pious predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, he will be, or she, from the inhabitants of paradise, by Allah's permission. By Allah's permission. And the Sheikh, he says, and if he follows the methodology of the deviant, misguided individuals, he is threatened with being put in the hellfire. He is threatened. This person subjects himself to the wrath of Allah and the punishment of Allah. Therefore, entrance into either paradise or the hellfire is dependent upon one's correctness of methodology or his lack of it. Now, So this is very important, because the methodology is the path that you follow. What path? There is only one path. The path of Allah. That the Prophet ﷺ left for us. The clear white path. We need to learn what it is and adhere to it and call to it. And we can't afford to be somewhere else. Because Allah warned us, He says, and be aware of the many other paths. When Allah ordered us and command us all to hold on firm to His path, one path, then He warned us against the many other paths, and He tells us what they do, what the danger is, that they turn you and take you away, further away from the path of Allah, from His path. So it's very important. Another question, what is the correct view on reading the books of innovators and hearing their tapes? It's a very important question. Very important question. Question 39. What is the correct view on reading the books of innovators and hearing their tapes or CDs or YouTube clips or iPads? Or whatever. You know, now there is so many ways, not just tapes. Reading their books, pamphlets, magazines, newspapers, including that, watching their clips, listening to their CDs, in any form. But somebody may say, he said tapes, he didn't say no CDs. same guy. Same lecture, man. Same khutbah. You see? The answer, it is not permissible for anyone to read the books of innovators or hear their tapes except for he who intends to refute them or clarify their deviation. But of course, this is not left for anybody. Remember what the Sheikh said is, as for a person who is a novice, right?
Novice?
What is novice?
Beginner.
Huh? Beginner, novice. MashaAllah, I learned it. This first time I heard this word. Am I the only one here? Abdul Majid, you know this word? You heard it a couple of times. You're better than me, MashaAllah. Mir, you heard it? Even you heard it. MashaAllah.
It's a French word.
Oh, yeah. Novice. That's French. All right. I know it, but in French way. Zakallah khair, Ramzi. Novice. Tayyib. Novice. As for a person who is novice?
English.
A student of knowledge, a common layman, or someone who is only reading to review the books, and not to refute them or expose their condition, then it is not permissible for such a person to read them. And this is since they will affect his heart and cause doubts to enter it. And as a result, he will be afflicted by their evil. Yeah. So the Shaykh says, so it is not permissible for anyone to read the books of the people of misguidance except for those who are qualified and specialized among the scholars for the sake of refuting them and warning against them. Now, as for the laymen, you have enough. Get to the books of Ahlul Sunnah, the ulama, the great scholars. Listen, there are so many books. It's not like you got no books except these books. You got the books of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, you got the books of the ulama, you got their tapes, their CDs, their work. That's what we want to adhere to. We will continue, inshallah, the next time. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslima kathira.